Now it's time for the Rural News with Susan Murray. And Susan, there's change at the top of two big farming organisations.
Yeah, kia ora, Marnie. That's right. Both Fonterra and Federated Farmers have announced changes this morning. The first female president of Federated Farmers in Federated Farmers' 118-year history is ending her three-year term today. West Coast dairy farmer Katie Milne says a highlight has been helping improve the country's understanding of what farmers do, which is produce good food. And she believes the rural-urban disconnect is less now. However, she says there are still significant challenges. She says watching those farms affected by Mycoplasma bovis has been torturous, and its eradication is a big thing to take on.
And there's still a lot of scepticism out there whether we will or we won't, but we've invested and we've got this far, so it's now sort of one of those things you've got to try and see through.
She says there are two other major challenges.
And not enough water storage in the country for anybody, whether you're in a city like Auckland or farmers in certain areas like the Hawke's Bay and other parts of the East Coast especially that are dry, or Marlborough, Nelson. We do have a lot of water that goes out to sea in New Zealand, and better use of technology and storage and so on there is something that will be a game changer for us. But of course, the technology one, got to be connected, and that's still a big issue for us, and it's really holding agriculture back, I feel, from making the next jump. Nate's a classic one. It's not as easy for someone in the back of the King Country or in South Westland to do their NAIC, which is the traceability of our animals, as someone who's beside a cell phone tower. So they get, you know, and you're supposed to have it done within 2 days, and for some of those farms, it's actually not possible to do that. Our dairy inspections and different audits we have on farm to make sure that our farm's food safety and everything is covered should be seamlessly going through to where it needs to be. But currently, people come out on the farm and look at folders full of paper. And it just seems to be so archaic in this modern age to be doing that. When the technology is there, it's just out of our reach. There's multiple ways of doing it now, and I know that the farmers around the rest of the world, the subsistence farmers I have a bit to do with through the World Farming Organisation, they all have smartphones, and they do it through cellular and get information they need that tells them to plant earlier or later because there's extreme weather coming or whatever it is, and making them, you know, make better decisions on farm with real live data and, you know, at their fingertips.
Katie Milne. The current Vice President, Andrew Hoggard, is expected to take over the President's role uncontested. And in other leadership news, Fonterra has announced its new chair. Current Farmer Director Peter McBride has been selected for the role by his fellow directors. Peter McBride will replace John Monaghan when he retires as a director of the co-op at its annual meeting this November. Mr McBride has a dairy farm in South Waikato, and he says he's looking forward to leading the co-op into its next phase and creating value for farmer shareholders and unit holders. A government-backed course to train people in heavy machinery used for rural contracting is proving popular, but a number of the participants are not from New Zealand. Earlier this month, the Agriculture Minister made money available for the Southern Institute of Technology to run courses to retrain people made redundant because of COVID-19. There are six-week-long modules being run at Telford Training Farm near Balclutha. In total, the courses will train 120 people. A Telford program manager, Debbie Rankin, says there's a huge mix on the first oversubscribed course, from a pilot to a pharmacist, jet boat driver and rural workers changing career direction. But also, a third of those enrolled are from overseas, and that mix is likely in upcoming courses.
So what they really need is to be offered a job placement so they can vary their visa or the conditions of their visa.
And they'd be what, from the tourism sector or from a variety of jobs?
They're from mainly the tourism sector or allied to the sector. Yeah, so we had some taxi drivers from Queenstown.
Is there any specific countries that they tend to be coming from?
No, there's a real variety in the course at the moment. We've got someone from Japan, someone from India, two people from India. We've got a person from Brazil. So, yeah, a really nice variety.
Machinery driving will be a huge step up for many, and they will only be able to do basic rural contracting roles. And just this week, Rural Contractors New Zealand told the government they would be 1,000 skilled machinery drivers short this summer if workers weren't allowed in from overseas. Time now for the latest from the sale yards around the country. And to tell us more, we're joined by Suze Bremner, a senior analyst at AgriHQ. So g'day, Sue. What has been happening this week?
Hi, Susan. Well, today I'm actually down at the Fielding Sale Yards, where, like many of the yards we follow with our livestock hire reports, June has been a very busy month in the store lamb pens, and many yards reached record June levels. A total of 170,400 store lambs have passed through these yards in June, that's all of the yards, with significantly higher tallies than normal for Stortford Lodge, Temuka, Matafero and Colgate. Fielding is sitting at around 58,000 lambs, which is up about 6,000 head on their five-year averages.
And Suze, the recent rain has been good for farmers. Is that flowing through to the sale yards?
Oh, it certainly is. And today here at Fielding, the oldest steers have made up to $3.20 a kilo, which is a good significant lift. But it has come as a big relief to many. And prior to this latest one, the temperatures have been quite mild too. So farmers have actually been able to watch a bit of that grass growing. It definitely has helped put a bit of buoyancy in the market. Of course, buyers are still aware that winter still lies ahead. So today here at Fielding, good male lambs have been making $135 to $155, and the early lambs, some of those early lambs, ewe lambs, made $110 to $125.
And there have been some big dollars paid for stud bulls this week, haven't there?
There certainly has. So that is another big talking point this week at the stud bull sales, which are a regular feature at this time of year. The east coast of the North Island had their turn, and they're always a highlight, but that's a bit of an understatement this year. Earlier in the week, we saw Cricklewood Angus Bull Sales sell their top bull for $92,000, but that was then betted at Tiraroa Angus Stud with Lot 8, which made $104,000. Quite staggering, really. So these bulls were bought by other studs, and they really, both of them were fantastic examples of the Angus breed.
Oh, thanks for that, Sue. Suze Bremner from AgriHQ. And look, just quickly, on Morning Report today, Corin asked people to text in some names for that bull presently called Lot 8. And there were a good number of offerings, including McBullface, Cream, Powder Bull, and an 11-year-old suggested Moose. So there we are. That ends Rural News for this last full week of June.
Thanks, Susan. I think I like Moose.
Now, much kinder.
Indeed.